Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and boy, have we got ammunition for you today to work with. And if you have a pad of paper and a pen, you want to be sure that you keep it handy so that you can not only make notes, but write down some of the very pertinent information we're going to be sharing with you. And one of those points of pertinent information is our toll-free telephone number, which you'll be able to call into later on in the show, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Well, we have quite a dynamic guest today. Dr. Jeanette Marie Freeman has put together a book. I just love the title. It is a question. Why did this happen to me again? My goodness. Dr. Freeman, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
Do you mind if I call you Jeanette?
Please do.
All right.
Please.
This is a question that I don't know who hasn't asked this of themselves. Why me? Why has this happened again? Now, I want my listeners to know about you. You went through quite a bit in your own life to be able to get to a point to write about these experiences. You were a lone mother, single mother of three. You ended up becoming an ordained minister, and you are the founder of a successful ministry. You teach, you write, and you speak, and you really walk your talk. This is something that transformed your life. Give us a bit of your own personal experience where your ahas came from and why this ended up taking you on a journey of success that you're enjoying today.
Oh, thanks, Donna. Yeah, I did. I was a single mother for 12 years and struggled. I wasn't having a lot of fun. It was a difficult time raising three very small children, not really having an education or job skills. But something in me knew that if I would work on me, then my outer situations would change. Many years ago, I read the book Think and Grow Rich. I know you're familiar with that.
Oh, yes. What a classic.
Yeah, it's a great classic. When I first read it, I'm like, oh, God, please let it be true. Please. And it seemed like I worked it in a long time and didn't see things happening and would see a little bit happening. And I worked it in everyday life. Like, for example, you know, going from job to job. And if any of your listeners can may perhaps relate to being in a job they don't like,
mm-hmm.
and not having it be satisfied or feel like you can do more. I had that experience many times. And I learned that if I wanted my job to change, I needed to change me. And so I would begin to affirm. I would begin to affirm, for example, I make such and such money, which is always more than I was making.
Mm-hmm.
And I love my work, and I'm surrounded by people that love me. And even though my situation in my regular job wasn't that, I began to affirm that. And soon after that, I would find that this job didn't work anymore, and I would demonstrate a new job. And
all right, let me stop you for just a minute. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
You've pointed out something that's very significant with affirmations. But now, how did you get past the part where you're saying, I am making $150,000 a year, and there's the other side of yourself saying, hey, stupid, wake up. You're at $25,000 a year. What makes you think you're going to get $150,000? Wake up, woman. Do this, do this. There's that other side of ourself talking. How did you get past that?
That's where the power of repetition comes in.
Okay.
That's where you do it more than one time, Donna. And, I mean, for me, I didn't go really big steps like that. I went believable steps. My story is one of that a lot of people are. I didn't go from, you know, zero to, you know, $500,000 a year. I went consistently up. Always my life has gone consistently up. But what I did was take the next step and begin to affirm that. And, yeah, my environment did not show my results right away. But I believe that we create from the invisible. So we have to start in mind. We have to start in mind. So it's visualizing and seeing it. And I figured I either do this or I'm stuck where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not an option. And so we start right where we are, and we begin to affirm what we want, not what we don't want.
Now, I want you to know, if you're just tuning into the broadcast today, Dr. Jeanette Marie Freeman is my guest. I love the title of her book. It's Why Did This Happen to Me Again? And we have three books that we're going to be giving away today. So if you would like to get a copy of this wonderfully insightful book, it will really inspire you in ways that you'd like to be inspired. 877-876-5227 is the number to call into, and my engineer is standing by, and he'll take your information while we can get that free copy to you. 877-876-5227. I want Jeanette to bring out something, and I highlighted it in the book. I loved it. You said the great thing about being miserable as opposed to slightly and tolerably miserable is that it forces you to do something, anything. You're willing to open up to new possibilities because you can't tolerate your current reality for another minute. Exclamation point. And I thought, oh, my goodness, yes, yes, yes. I have shaken hands with that kind of a situation so many times in my life, and I know many of my listeners have, too. If any of you haven't, please let me know. I'd like to know what part of the human race you belong to. But seriously, the miseries, they are really what get us up and off of our duff, aren't they?
Right. Because it's just a lot easier to deal with the mediocre. You know, it's a lot easier to just put up with. Most people, like Emerson says, live lives of quiet desperation. We're just quietly desperate. And we live in the warm water, you know, for a while. And then it gets so hot we can't stand it anymore. And so it's like pain motivates us more than going away from pain motivates us more than moving towards pleasure. Many, many times that's the case. And so that was the case for me several times. You know, whether it was a relationship or whether it was a job or whether it was just situations that were untolerable any minute.
Now,
don't you think, Donna, sometimes it's just as important to say absolutely no more.
Oh, no question.
No more. And when I get the yes.
That is so true. And there is a reality, I think, about life. And it doesn't have to be this way, but it just seems to be in our DNA for some reason. And it's almost as if we have to get kicked in the tush really hard, and we have to say, I don't want this anymore.
Right.
Just like what we've discussed. But it's that getting to that point. And for some people, like you said, they get stuck. But if you want to get unstuck, then we come into two words, personal responsibility.
Absolutely.
And that is a level that in many people's minds, they just step back from it and say, well, what do you mean? It isn't my fault that I'm here. I blame it on my dog, my mother, the tree in the backyard, the toilet paper in the bathroom, whatever is going to be used as an excuse. Mm-hmm. How did you get past that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I finally got that. For me, if it was to be, this is the news, but it was up to me. There was nobody else that was going to be responsible for me and for my life. My dad, you know, my mom, nobody. So it was for me. But even deeper than that, I think with reading books and studying and listening to speakers and all this stuff in personal growth, I got that I cannot afford to be a victim. I cannot afford. And can I share a quick story?
Oh, please do.
It helped illustrated this for me. I remember very clearly one afternoon, and at the time I was struggling. I had just had a horrible relationship that ended. I was getting married, and it ended devastatingly, and it was financially devastating. I lost the condo that I was living in into a basement, one-bedroom little thing for me and my three kids. And life was hard, and worked full-time, and life was hard. And one day I stood up, and something hit me. I went, life is such a struggle. And I went, wow, you know, I get a lot of accolades for being so strong in living a life of struggle. And I began to realize how I had really told this story so many times that life was difficult, but I am so strong because I can hold it all on my own shoulders. I'm so strong. And then in that moment, I thought, I do not want to keep carrying this story that life is hard and it struggles. And somehow, right in that moment, I decided to have a new shift and a new belief that says, no, life will not be a struggle for me. I accept that life is, I can live a life of grace and ease, and that I am the child of a beloved father. I'm going to take on that idea that I am the child of the beloved infinite that gives in an ungiving way. And in that moment, I started to tell myself over and over again, I am supported. I am supported. Life does not have to be a struggle, and I am supported. And through that, beginning to shift and take responsibility for, I'm the one that decided to choose that life is a struggle. Not life giving me the struggle. I believed that life should be a struggle. So as I begin to shift my belief that life is not a struggle and that I am supported and I live in a friendly universe, then I begin to see all kinds of miraculous things unfold for me in my life that set me on a new pathway and in my new ministry, education, and support like you can't believe. So the change doesn't come by fixing anybody else. The change doesn't come by making the whole universe fit your idea of what it should be like. The change comes when I say, I refuse to believe that, and I accept a new belief, and then I can watch the change around me happen.
Now, Jeanette, you have something that you have done that I've known of people to do before, but not many, mm-hmm. and that is positive sleep repetition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell us how you decided to implement that into your life, and what is it, and what did you do?
I started years ago when my kids were very little because I felt like I couldn't be with them enough. And so I made tape recordings of my voice telling my children how beautiful they were, how loved they were, how life supports them, how they can trust life. And I made these tape recordings, and I played them on an auto reverse all night long while they slept. And mainly it was because I knew the subconscious mind, that I knew that it simply receives information, and I knew that it operates and acts and creates out of what our subconscious mind holds most deeply. And so I knew that, and so I just tried to find ways to get more good stuff in the subconscious than the environment, because I knew that the environment, I knew the kids' schools, I knew that my own life and my own environment wasn't supportive, it wasn't positive. So, and I knew that the subconscious mind never sleeps. And so I began to make those tapes. I made them for myself as well. And for years, for, 23, 24 years, I've made these. And my kids still are, they're in their 20s. They still listen to sleep learning. And I've had a lot of people that have amazing success. It's like, and of course I've made more in the years later, and now I've got CDs that are real easy to listen to, that continually it affirms for me, I am abundant, I am supported, I am sustained in every way, I'm creative, great things unfold for me. So when I lay down and go to sleep and I close my eyes, I have these positive, repetitive things reminding me of the infinite truth of who I am. And when I wake up in the morning, it's the first thing I hear. And I feel good about knowing that all night while I've been sleeping, I have had those ideas penetrating and filling my own mind.
Well, that is absolutely wonderful. Now, my guest, if you're just tuning into the broadcast today, is Dr. Jeanette Marie Freeman. We are talking about her book, Why Did This Happen to Me Again? Well, she's not only walked the walk of experience, but she's sharing a lot of insights that she feels empowered her and can empower you. And we have three books to give away today. If you would like to get your free copy, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. So call into that telephone number, and we'll be happy to make sure that you get a free copy. And we have three to give away today. All right, now you have in your book, Jeanette, seven undermining beliefs. What are those seven beliefs?
Well, let me look at the book.
Aha! Surprised you, huh?
You did surprise me.
I told you I read the book.
I know. I think that's so awesome that you do that.
Well, let me help you along here. The first one is, I am not worthy.
Yeah, is it? I think that, and that's one of the reasons that I put that first, is that most of us have that belief. We, at an early age, we mistook love for acceptance and worthiness. If we did something right, we were worthy of love, and if we did something wrong, we're not. And so we've got a lot of these beliefs, and the environment and society continues to perpetuate them, that we become worthy by what we do or how we look or by the roles that we play. And the truth is that we are worthy because we exist. because of our very nature. But when the most important thing is that when we see experiences in our life that reflect back to us the possibility that we believe I am not worthy, the most important thing then is to recognize that and begin to work on the belief around I am worthy versus trying to change the situation.
All right. Now, item number 2 and 3, I think we can put together. 2, there is not enough,
right.
And 3, money is bad.
Right.
Now, tell us about those 2.
There is not enough. I mean, that is what causes all the problems in society, I think, is that belief in insufficiency. There's not enough. There's not enough. So I will kill you. I will manipulate. I will do something because I believe that there is not enough. And that, you know, goes way beyond money, and it goes beyond all kinds of things, that there's not enough. When we see there's not enough in our life, we can begin to affirm that there is enough and I'm supplied. And then money is bad. That's perpetuated in, you know, all the churches and everything, that there's somehow money is evil. Money's not evil. Money's simply energy, and it's simply a tool. But when we carry that belief and we truly want to be a good person, then we will find ways to sabotage our ability to receive money because we want to be a good person. If money's bad, we're certainly not going to allow ourselves to have that.
So now, number 4 is my good is dependent upon others, and number 5, I have to be perfect.
See, I wrote these because these are my good is dependent upon others. Now, as a woman, I grew up thinking that my good was dependent upon my father, and then I grew up thinking my good was dependent upon my husband, and then I believed that my good was dependent upon some other man that could save me, and I found out over and over and over again that my good is not dependent upon another. And all of us will be much better off if we'll just get that sooner than later, that my good is dependent upon my ability to receive it and my consciousness. And I have to be perfect. Well.
I love this one.
It's really a belief in imperfection. And that we have to be perfect in order to be loved. We have to be perfect in order to receive. We've got to be perfect in order to get what we want. Well, that's just not true. You know, who we are in our core nature is perfect. And we can get totally stuck, and we can be completely miserable every time we make a so-called mistake. If we just realize that, you know what, that's how we learn. Mistakes are how we learn. They're not really mistakes anyway. It's just a learning process. We would not criticize a baby when they first get up and walk when they start to fall down. You know, so that's one that a lot of people suffer with. And we just have to get over it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be perfect, so we might as well live. Because what happens in the real life where that shows up is we don't take action. We're afraid that we'll fail. We're afraid that we won't do it right. We're afraid that other people will do it better. We're afraid of all this, and it just causes procrastination, and it causes us not to take action. And when we get it that we're not perfect, okay, so there.
So you go out and do it, and somebody says, what made you do it? You say, well, I just figured I'd try and see how it worked out.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like baking a chocolate cake.
Yeah.
And you forget to put in the chocolate. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
You just keep on moving on.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go now to number 6. I need others' approval. Now, this is a big one.
It's huge. That's a big one because, you know, I need other people's approval. Excuse me. I need someone else's approval for me to be okay. And many of us have this experience where we look outside of ourselves to look for approval. And as a minister, this one got triggered for me so many times, you have no idea. I just wanted to please everybody. I just
mm-hmm.
wanted everybody's approval, and I wanted to do it right. And I'll never forget the first time I think this one's in the book, when I tried some new music and they just went in an uproar because it wasn't, you know, the same old thing, and I was
right.
All my feelings were hurt, and it took me a long time to try new music again. But that's another thing that will lead mediocre and very small lives if we need another person's approval, because there will always be someone there that does not approve.
Now, the last one to me is very, very significant because I have a very strong belief system with this. And not in this context, because you're talking about the 7 points that undermine us. Mm-hmm. I am separate from God, the universe, whatever term a person mm-hmm. wants to mm-hmm. use. Mm-hmm. But that, I think, is such a lonely, lonely place to be in.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and painful and alone and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And really stems, all the other ones stem deeply into that, that the universe is not a safe place for me. You know, that it's not a safe place. But I believe that that's what we're growing into and knowing, is that I am not separate from the universe. I'm not separate from God's spirit, life, that I am a part of it. When we get that we're a part of it, then we get that we're whole and we're complete. And then we get that I'm safe and that I don't need someone else's approval. And then we get that there's enough and that I'm supplied. And all of the other beliefs fall into higher alignment as we begin to comprehend, understand, and awaken to this idea that we are connected, we're one with, we are a part of something greater than we can see.
And I think that's so important. I have always been a strong believer in environment, not that I always made such good choices. I can look upon choices I've made in my life, and I'd stand back and I'd say, boy, that was dumb. But it was like I was experimenting, trying to figure out what really fit me.
Mm-hmm.
And you have in your book, be open to attracting a new community of like-minded souls into your life. Give yourself a strong support system.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so very, very significant. If you see someone or something that represents the highest and best to you, you can bring that into your environment in so many different ways, but you do need to bring it into your environment. You don't need to keep it outside and say, well, I'll keep it in a safe place for the right day. You need to bring it into your environment right now. And you have a Dr. Joseph Dispenza, a chiropractor and researcher of brain chemistry, and you quote him in your book. You say he talks about the relationship between our emotional patterns and the chemistry in the brain. Go into a little bit of his background relative to what I've just mentioned.
Well, I don't know if you remember seeing What the Bleep, but he
yes.
was in that movie. And in that, they really talked about the chemistry of the brain and how it's automatically firing neurons and it's automatically firing repetitive emotional states, and that we are mostly living unconscious, repeating these patterns. It's like the body has an addiction for the high that one gets in being in an emotional state of fear, for example. And so the body wants that emotional experience, and so it just keeps going down that same pattern. It keeps going down that same groove over and over and over. And unless one begins to choose consistently to set forth new intention in a new way, in a new repetitive pattern, the old one will continue to play in habitual ways. And so that's why it's so important to participate and practice the power of repetition over and over in the direction you want to go.
I like your statement in here. Our fears are like dragons sneaking up and destroying our brightest dreams. Our fears are only thoughts, though, and they can be replaced by stronger, more powerful thoughts, repetitively chosen. All the dreams in the world can bring us only discontent if we allow our fears to swallow them. The choice is ours.
Right. And that's the difference between being a dreamer and one that consistently and repetitively works to create the consciousness of one that would attract the dream. Because just having dreams can make you very sad. Just having dreams can make you very discontent and lost. So having the dream is the motivator. It's important to have dreams. The dream becomes the motivator to make us take directed action in the direction of our dreams and begin to build the consciousness of beliefs to, that would attract the results of the dream.
Now, in your book, there is so much good information. And for those of you listening, if we have 3 free copies to give away today, and if you'd like to, call into this toll-free number and give your information to our engineer so we can get a copy out to you. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. No matter where you are, we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Dr. Jeanette Marie Freeman has been my guest for this time period. Her book is Why Did This Happen to Me Again? Again and again and again. Well, she'll be happy to give you the keys to your transformation, your lasting transformation, as it was able to demonstrate itself in her own life. And in her book, she's mentioned affirmations, those affirmations for sleep. Well, she's got them written out in the book. She has them for we adults, and also she has some wonderful affirmations for children. If you wanted to play these or set something up just like she did with her children and make a tape and then have it so that the children can listen to this while they're sleeping, it's a great way to do it. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful way to empower someone. And Jeanette, I know that you have your own radio show down in California, and you are just so involved in being dedicated to improving people's lives. And if you had a thought to leave with my audience today, what would that be? Oh, and also, don't forget to give us your website.
Great, yes. My website, first of all, is www.JeanetteMarieFreeman.com. That's J-A-N-E-T-T-E, MarieFreeman.com. And on there, I do have mind prints, which are my sleep learning products, and some different resources and articles and that kind of thing. So JeanetteMarieFreeman.com. And what I would say and what I would like to leave is that I believe that the difference the power of repetition in positive ways makes in people is the difference between lasting change and not. Those that make a consistent effort to see the highest, to claim the highest, to shift belief systems, to know that they're safe, they're supported, and they're supplied on a daily basis. It's the simple things done every single day that make the biggest difference. And we can shift our life. We can live in a greater way than we ever thought we could, and we can be happier than we ever thought we could. So I just want to leave that and support people in reaching deeper and flying higher.
I couldn't agree with you more. This is Donna Sebo. My guest has been Dr. Jeanette Marie Freeman. Her book is Why Did This Happen to Me Again? And she'll give you the keys to help you make your transformation if you would be interested in that. The toll-free number, we have 3 books to give away, is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 if you'd like a free copy. Her website is JeanetteMarieFreeman.com. Don't forget the 3 W's in front of that. Jeanette, J-A-N-E-T-T-E, MarieFreeman.com. And I'm just so glad you had the time to give me to be my guest.
Well,
today.
Thank you, Donna. Anytime. I loved it.
Oh, it was just an absolute delight. You have a magnificent life and continued success.
Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Donna Sebo here. Those telephone lines are open, 877-876-5227. And we're going to be taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment with a lot more good things to share with you. Don't forget, Why Did This Happen to Me Again? Dr. Jeanette Marie Freeman. We have 3 books, so give us a buzz, 877-876-5227. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and we still have 1 book left of Dr. Jeanette Marie Freeman's Why Did This Happen to Me Again? Yes, we have 1 left, so give us a call at 877-876-5227 if you'd like that free copy. We'll be delighted to get that out to you. Also, if you'd like to chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight, I would be delighted to do that. Same telephone number, so you can get a book and talk to me at the same time. So we can do that. So just give me a buzz if you would like. Also, I wanted to remind you, effective July the 1st, the Donna Sebo Show is moving to 11 a.m. I'll be on from 11 a.m. until noon. So be sure to mark your listening calendars so that you don't miss anything. And, of course, BBS Radio has so many wonderful programs throughout the day, and they also have good music. So don't forget, you can be working away, and you can have it on and just be enlightened at the same time that you're sort of maybe rocking and rolling, depending on what's going on and what you're listening to. But there's always some good stuff happening here. And I wanted to let you know about next week. I have a wonderful lineup of people. We're going to be talking with Bill Borchert, and it's about the Lois Wilson story. Now, the name Lois Wilson won't mean a thing to you, but she is the wife of Bill Wilson, who founded Alcoholics Anonymous. Her story is a wonderful story. I have interviewed Bill on one of my other shows, and it is he has known Lois Wilson personally. It is absolutely incredible, so I'm so delighted he's going to be able to be on with me again. Also, we're going to be talking on Tuesday with Larry Ackerman, The Identity Code. Ah, yes, sounds a little mysterious, doesn't it? Well, you're going to have to tune in on Tuesday to find out about it. Then, on Wednesday, we're going to be talking about mediums. We're going to be talking about psychics. In fact, the book is titled Truth About Mediums, and Gary Schwartz is going to be my guest, and he will just have all kinds of interesting research that he's going to be sharing with us. Then, Christina Baldwin, she's a consummate storyteller, and she's got a wonderful book called Story Catcher. If you're a writer, you're not going to want to miss this. If you are a person that just has a passion for stories, like I do, this will mesmerize you. So she's going to be on next Thursday, and then on Friday of next week, we're going to be talking with Bill Goss. Bill is one of my favorite people. He's a man that's lived not only an extraordinary life, but he has survived extraordinary experiences. And he's got a book called There's a Squirrel in My Coffee, and it is awesome. So you're not going to want to miss any of this. And here on the Donna Sebo Show, we always like to light up your life with a little bit of insight. That's why I call it mind power. So what empowers you as a person is what you put into your mind. What Jeanette was talking about just a short time ago is so important to remember. You need to feed your mind. The mental nutrition that you need to be healthy and to have the life that you want. Let's go to our caller that's waiting on the line. I want to welcome you to the show. May I have your first name or initial, please, and let me know where you're calling from.
Yes, good afternoon, Donna. This is Linda, and I'm calling from San Antonio, Texas.
From San Antonio, Texas. Well, thank you for calling in. So glad that you're listening. Now, Linda, as I'm watching you, I feel as if I'm making a breakthrough, and I'm talking as if I'm you. And what has happened is I'm getting an image of you having like a chisel in your hand, and there's a hammer. It's not a big hammer, average-sized hammer. And you're gently tapping this chisel. And whatever you have been tapping, very gently, you haven't been whacking at it. Apparently you tried to do that, and nothing moves. So what you've been doing for the last 2 to 3, and I want to say it's the last 2 to 3 years, you have been very gently just making consistent taps with this chisel and this hammer, which is symbolic of action and follow-through. And you've been doing that very gently, and I am hearing a crack. And I mean a big, big crack. And this massive amount of wall, this crack, it started about 6 months ago. And just as you were gently tapping, you hit the right angle, the right positioning, and it's happened just recently, and I am watching that crack very quietly, all of a sudden sounding like a gigantic rip. And I am watching the wall just going away. But it's going to take a little bit more time, because whatever this wall is representing, it is so dense and it is so thick that it's been a long time. You've worked very, very hard to make this breakthrough.
Yes.
And there's still some more work to be done. But all I can do is encourage you to continue the consistency of what you have been doing. Though you are not seeing things right in front of you, this crack has already started, and you just need to keep tapping, hon, because it's going to cause everything that has been in your way to just fall away.
Wow.
And anybody on the outside is going to say, wow, isn't this miraculous? What's happened to you? Little do they realize how much work, how much effort, how much dedication you have put in to making this major breakthrough.
Wow.
So I want to compliment you, and I know you've been going through some discouraging moments, but I want you to realize that who you are is so well established. Your quality of character and personality is so significant. You are making a difference.
Wow.
And you are making a difference in your life, and you're making a difference with your thinking and your actions. So just keep on doing that little bit of tapping, the tiny baby steps. It's working, hon.
I'm real glad to hear that.
The difficult time. And for heaven's sake, you've got this one naggy female around you. She must be a relative.
Yeah.
If not a relative, she must be a friend that just is like a member of the family. But this is a person you've known for a long time, and no matter what you do, they're always going to have some remark.
Yep.
I mean, I don't care what it comes up. It could be gilded in gold and be absolutely flawless. They'll say, you know, that looks sort of cheap. Always come up with something.
Yes.
And
yes.
What you need to do is to develop a good sense of humor. Don't take it personally.
Okay.
Develop a good sense of humor and say, well, you know, I guess you're right. I guess you're right.
I
agree with you, but I guess you're right.
It's okay to be
who you are, but take it lightly.
Okay.
Don't take it seriously. What's your question for me today?
My question is, I'm at a bit of a career crossroads.
Okay, I cannot hear you, hon.
I am at a career crossroads right now.
All right. What is the crossroad?
Well, the crossroads is, do I go into financial industry or do I go into teaching?
Why not do both? Now, remember, I don't know what your background is right at this moment, but remember something. You are setting a precedent. You are taking a direction in your life that is not something that anyone that you know of at this time. There are people that are doing it, but there's no one that you know of right now in your immediate circle that would have the courage to do both.
Wow.
All right, do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Let me give you an example. Let's say you got the credentials as a financial advisor, and you decided that this is really what you had a passion for, but you also wanted to teach. So maybe what you do, you get yourself affiliated with a top-notch firm, you've got your credential, you start developing relationships with people, and then you volunteer to teach at a library, maybe a class a month or two classes a month, and you develop a program format that you can pass along in book form or in tape form or something else if somebody wants to buy it from you.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
I think, my dear, you've worked so hard. You have worked so very, very hard. Don't you give up any of this.
You can
do both.
You want me to keep going? I'll do that.
Absolutely. You've got it. You have worked so hard to get to where you are.
Can't stop now.
That would all, for heaven's sake.
Okay.
I don't think anybody could make you stop anyway. You might be discouraged, and you've been discouraged recently.
I'm very determined.
Don't be discouraged.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome.
I'm so delighted
you called in. And be sure and tell your friends about the show and also the fact that as of July the 1st, it's changing to 11 a.m.
Yes, I'll do that. And thank you for the book. I look forward to reading it.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful. You'll love it.
All right.
Have a highlighter with you when you're reading the book.
Uh-huh.
And highlight those sections that you like.
Okay.
Okay, dear. Have a wonderful day.
Same to you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Donna Stevo here. Well, I know we're going to be taking a break. If you want to give me a buzz, 877-876-5227 is the number. 877-876-5227. And, well, let's see. I've told you who's coming up next week. I've got so much to share with you. So we're just going to have to take the break, and then when we come back, then what we'll do is fill you in on a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and if you'd like to chat with me, that's all the better. I would be delighted. So again, 877-876-5227. Oops, I know what I needed to say. My email newsletter is out, and I've had some requests from some of you listening to the show saying, Donna, I'd like to be on your mail list. So I want to say, go ahead, just send me an email to my email address, donna@delphiinternational.com. Send me an email, and it'll automatically have your address there, and then I'll just be able to add you into the mailing address. And be sure you put my link in on your acceptance of mail, because sometimes people ask me to send me the newsletter, and then it's not accepted. I end up being in their spam file. And that happens. I know we have to pay attention to that stuff. Well, anyway, we're going to take a break. Give me a buzz if you want to chat again. 877-876-5227. We'll be coming back in just a moment. And like I said, I got a lot of stuff to share with you, so we'll put in as much as we can. Don't you go away. Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and I wanted to share a couple of things with you. We know we're coming into summertime, and if you're a person that loves to garden, and you go, oh, gee whiz, I always have to worry about these little critters. Well, maybe you don't want to use pesticides. As we're becoming wiser and wiser, we're concerned about pollution of water and other things. So I found some tips that I wanted to share with you. Marianne Benetti has authored a book, Easy Answers for Home Gardens. And if you're like me, well, I know out in our neck of the woods, we have raccoons, we have squirrels. Oh, squirrels just love eating tulip bulbs and things like that. They'll just dig stuff up and scrunch and munch and have a great time. So here are some things. Oh, and maybe you have bunnies, like a friend I was visiting with yesterday. They have bunnies in their yard. Here are some ideas. There's five tips that I'd like to share with you. If you have bunnies, little rabbits, that come into your garden, here's a tip that she suggests, Marianne does. She said, sprinkle dried cayenne pepper onto the soil. You don't want to necessarily dig it in. It's not going to hurt anything. But sprinkle it onto the soil. She said, rabbits and cats don't like it. They won't want to dig around your low-growing plants. Also, if you've got birds that will come in and feed on whatever is growing in your garden and you want to scare them off, do you have a stack of old CDs? Do you know of people that have old CDs they don't know what to do with? Well, if you take the CDs and thread them and stretch them across your vegetable patch, if that's what you have, the way they move and reflect light seems to scare off the birds. They don't like them. And if you really want to make them more effective, take two CDs with the shiny sides out and just glue them together, the dull sides together, just glue them together, and then stirring them up in the crust, and the birds don't like that. And also, you can protect fruit with pantyhose. Boy, think of how much pantyhose was wasted in the world, and we could use it for this. If you put clean pantyhose over almost ripe fruit, it'll stop birds from getting to them while it's still allowing light in the air and just to circulate, and deer, if you want to not have deer come into your garden, we have deer out here in the Northwest. Add some scented deodorant soap to the pantyhose, and they'll leave it alone. We have friends that have these wonderful cherry trees, and more than one year they went out and they couldn't get a cherry. Why don't they use screening of a type that they just have to put all around their items? Otherwise, it's just eaten up. I mean, they're looking for food just like we are. So they are out there to get whatever they can. Also, garlic is very effective. If you crush a few cloves of garlic into a bucket of water and just let it steep overnight and then go and spritz the brew over your plants, most pests won't come near them due to the pungent smell and taste. Well, people can say you have an Italian type of a garden with that kind of a garlic fragrance, but little tips like this can make a difference. And squirrels, oh, they are so intelligent. What intelligent critters. You can scare them off with lavender. They don't like the smell and won't go near herb sage either. So if you use lavender or herb sage to surround plants that they do like, such as their favorite vegetables, that'll take care of it for you, and that keeps you from having to use a pesticide. That tip comes from Andy Lopez, and he's very much involved with natural pest control for your home and garden. So those are just some little tips that I wanted to share with you. And also, let's see, I did have a recipe request, but I'm going to pass on that. But I thought I would share something with you. And this is regarding animals. And so many young people today do not have the opportunity to really observe nature. There are those of us that really can have some fabulous memories, you know, climbing trees. Maybe we're out in our imaginary forts, digging holes in the dirt, and, you know, going bug hunting. Ah, yes, I can remember a few days like that. But for so many kids today, they don't have that opportunity. They're just not living in a world that makes that a reality. So the television and the distractions we have today doesn't give them the opportunity to really be in nature. And there was one study done of three generations of nine-year-olds, and they found that the radius around the home in which they were allowed to play had shrunk to one-ninth of what it was in 1970. Now, there's a child advocate, Richard Liu. He put out a book called Last Child in the Woods, and he said the average eight-year-old can name all the Pokemon characters but cannot identify an oak tree. So he said there's a lot of things going on with our kids today that were not in place years ago. Now, what's been established to help change this is the Pritzker Family Children's Zoo, which recently opened inside Chicago's Lincoln Park Zoo, which is fabulous, and it provides a temporary antidote to what Luce calls the nature deficient disorder, and, or I should say, the nature deficit disorder. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. The exhibit is spread out over 3 acres of leafy forest, and kids have a chance to experience our North American forest in their backyards. And they watch otters in a pair of pools connected by a river-like slide. There's a black bear that descends a tree and uses his claws to extract treats from holes in the bark of a log, and beavers on a riverbank. They're building a dam with twigs and branches. Endangered red wolves, smaller, longer-legged cousins to the gray wolves, they wander through a shallow stream to peer at visitors and then disappear behind the trees. Now, this interactive display helps youngsters feel at ease among the animals. And they've even got a swift-flying sparrow gobbling falcon. Oh, he's gorgeous. He's absolutely awesome. Now, you may say, oh, but he goes after sparrows. Nature is really diversified, and there's a lot of things going on. And it's a good thing for youngsters, you know, to see. And they even have an acoustical experiment at this site to see how the wolf howls travel and how wolves move about. And he said, I'm 48 years of age, and I was on an aerial canopy climb. And he said, I was going on this site at this particular Pritzker Family Children's Zoo. He said, I was able to go through some leaves rather than a tangle of wires. And he said, this enables children of all ages to reconnect with the chaos of nature and not just watching it on a computer when they come through like a bunch of pixels. Fascinating stuff. I think it's important for us to have that connection with nature. And I think one of the things that it does, not just for the kids, but for adults, when you're around kids and you're interacting with them, it gives you a chance to take a deep breath and become a little grounded with your life. Boy, we can get so busy. We've got so much stuff going on. It just seems like time evaporates faster than I think it ever has before. Perhaps not. Maybe it's just because I'm getting older that I just notice it. But it's so much is going on. So why don't you do yourself a favor today? If you have children, if you just take yourself out, take yourself and the kids out, just take a walk. You'll see so many things. Things that maybe you otherwise wouldn't have a chance to see. If you're driving by in a car, you don't have the time to stop and look. So do that for yourself today. Give yourself a gift of observation, a gift of savoring a moment in life, looking at a beautiful flower, listening to the birds. It's a fabulous time of the year. Remember also that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. It's been an absolute delight being with you today. Have a fabulous weekend, and we'll be back with you bright and sassy on Monday. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, observe. You've got a lot to take in, and there's so much to share in life. Make it this the best day ever and the most wonderful weekend of your life. Donna Sebo here. Talk to you later. Bye for now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.